Welcome to WDRT's Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. Every now and then, human beings rise to the occasion of actually being human. And when they do, I try to give them a platform to speak. In my opinion, being human in a time when ignorance is leading far too frequently is a worthy challenge. People ask why I haven't been in conversation with opposing political candidates. For me, it's simple. I'm not in the game of politics. I'm in the game of humanity. And from what I can tell from genocide, ICE, militarized police, the attempt to eradicate trans people, and the destruction of our earth and water, humanity is losing the game. So I look for fighters, people who are unafraid to challenge the status quo from any sector. It just so happens that one such champion of humanity is my guest today, and she happens to be a politician. I won't blame her for that. My guest is Emily Burgi. She's running on the Democratic ticket to unseat Derek Van Orden and become our next congressperson in the 3rd District. Emily is a licensed counselor, a small business owner, and former Eau Claire City Council president. She speaks of bringing a people-first leadership to Congress and wants to ensure we have a representative rooted in the district, accountable to local voters, and committed to building an economy and a democracy that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now that is a tall order. Welcome, Emily, and thanks for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thanks, Dina. Thanks for having me on.
So what drives your compassion to help others?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a value, right? Compassion. And I think part of it is how I was raised, you know, like many of us, if not most of us, raised with the values of compassion and honesty, integrity, do the right thing. And so I was raised that way, and it's what's always guided me. It's why I became a counselor. It's why I became a licensed professional counselor, you know, to help people, to make people's lives better, to be with people in really tough moments and just to be with them, to walk beside people, you know, when things, and you don't even have to fix it, but just hearing their pain and witnessing like them being their true self. Like, I actually feel very fortunate that I can be in those rooms with people and what people share and what they, and it's my job as a counselor to show them that they can do it too. There's empowerment in that.
Empowerment,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that whole thing of compassion, it's something you learn, and it's like a muscle. Mm-hmm. And when you practice it, the more you practice it, the more mm-hmm. you can espouse it, the more you can share it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's really needed in your hopeful profession here.
Yes. Well, right. And politics can be like that. That's what my message is politics doesn't have to be, you know, one group of people against another group of people. It doesn't have to be hate. It doesn't have to be, you know, dividing people. It really can be about community. It can be about caring for each other. Like, that's my whole message. It bringing people together. It can be joyful. Politics can be joyful.
It should be. Mm-hmm. It was kind of really wonderful today to see the picture of Syed and Stevens hugging and just the respect that they showed each other. And, you know, hopefully that'll stay. So I agree with you 100%. So let's talk about, you support a federal moratorium on new large-scale AI data centers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. And this issue has been very interesting. As I have been building my campaign, as we have been building our campaign for the last year and a half, it seems like the data center issue has been growing too. So it's a really interesting time to be running this congressional campaign. Like, as city council president, like, data centers were out there, but like, us as a city weren't dealing with them at all. They weren't part of, like, it was like kind of an afterthought because it was going on in Menominee. You know, they were dealing with ones like, oh, well, maybe we should, you know, so it was just kind of out there. But now it's just getting more and more front and center. And as I'm traveling, talking to people, listening to folks throughout the 3rd Congressional District, especially down here in the Driftless area, it's top of mind. Mm-hmm. And really, it's tied to AI as mm-hmm. well. And when I talk to young folks, like, their top three issues are housing, healthcare, AI.
Wow.
Like, they hate AI.
Wow.
You know, and I'll just tell a quick story. So I have two kids.
No rush on
it. Okay. Does that have to be quick? Okay.
No, take your time, girl.
So I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old, and my 18-year-old daughter, and she's going to be going to school for illustrator, which I'm very proud about that. Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful artist, and she went to go get like a digital like iPad, and she deliberately got one, bought her iPad, an older model that didn't have AI in it, like embedded in it. It's such a big topic AI is for like young folks, but I guess I bring that up because it's tied to data centers too. And I think what people are feeling is that it's like they don't have any control, you know, that there's these big billionaires in California, these big tech giants are just plopping these huge data centers in people's backyards out of nowhere. And people here, we have to pay the price. Like, and they're the rich ones, you know? Why do we have to pay for the price so they can make huge profits?
Right.
And that's what I'm hearing.
Right, and a lot of the reason that you didn't hear about it when way back in the day was because they were doing everything underhandedly. Mm-hmm. They were going, you know, to leaders or whatever, you know, getting people to sign
NDAs. You
know, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm going to count myself in with the young folk because when I write, I do a lot of writing. And when I write and then the thing comes up and says, could AI please make this better for you? And I'm like, no.
Right.
No way.
Right.
I say what I say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important to, I think, have a moratorium. And I am the only candidate in this race that has that supports a moratorium on data centers, you know, because like we have to get regulations for data centers and AI, you know, and they're not. So it's not even like a time lapse for me. Like it's not like a time, 16 months or 2 years or a year, because I know having worked in government that it takes a long time. It probably a year can go by very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that the line in the sand is we need regulations.
I love that line in the sand. It's time, isn't it? And right now, the momentum is in your favor because more and more people are learning about it. Mm-hmm. And more, have you noticed how many groups are coming together, local groups? Mm-hmm. You know, not, you know, the thing about you're being paid to go into an area and be an activist, that's not what's happening.
Oh, no. No, this is real grassroots power.
Yeah.
Organizing is happening on the ground. It's very exciting and very powerful. Right. I love it when people take their power.
And that's why I was hoping you would be able to come and be here, because that is what you do. You empower people in that regard. And the other thing about the centers that we need to be careful about is what's going to happen when the facility becomes obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't think about, I think about that because of where I'm from, in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, and the steel mills and the nuclear power plant and all these things. And then what?
Yeah.
You're paying. Taxpayers still paying.
Yeah, and it looks ugly.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is all really important important things. So thank you for caring, caring
well,
about that.
And I'm just reflecting what I'm hearing on the ground. You know, I don't need a poll to tell me that data centers are bad. Like, I hear that having conversations and listening to people, and that's how it should be.
That is the way it should be. And, yeah, and taking it in, and then finding ways to implement.
Mm-hmm.
So on that same note, what is your perspective on the 765 transmission line that wants to barrel through the Driftless?
Right. The Maribel line, I started hearing about that about a year ago. Again, so many more time down here in the Driftless area, and people are really concerned. And it's the same thing. They don't want just these things that pop up in their land, on their countryside. They feel powerless. They feel angry, and it's all very valid. And now with this new Becky line that's just going through, you know, Richland County, and they just found out about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been very short.
And their timeline, that's 7 months.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the fastest ever, you know, and how the people of, like, the Wisconsin, I mean, we deserve to have a voice, not just being told what to do, and this is what's going to be in your backyard. And it's really important that people come together and organize. Mm.
And that's been a wonderful thing. I sit in on a lot of chats, a lot of groups, and watching how it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's so cool is it's not Democrat and Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. It's because people talk about their their perspectives, and it's different. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm even my neighbors when, you know, because I have my sign in the yard, no 765 transmission. And, you know, people are saying, yeah, we don't want it. And these are people who 2 years ago, 5 years ago, for sure, would not, they would have just said, let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start to learn the mm-hmm. size of it, the mm-hmm. scale of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the thing is here, people come here mm-hmm. for the beauty.
Yes.
You know, I came here for mm-hmm. the beauty. And yeah. I want to stay for the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Cool. Well, that's good. You're so far, so good.
Oh, yeah. So good. Hey, I'm very honest. And I'm just, again, reflecting, like, saying what I'm hearing on the ground.
What other things are you hearing that, like, really stand out to you?
I mean, healthcare is huge. Yes. Healthcare is number one. You know, like, young, medium, old. Like, it's the number one issue. There's so many young people that are going without healthcare right now. And that's really scary, especially as a mom, you know. But once people age off their parents' health insurance, if their parents have health insurance, then they're going without.
Right.
And as a mental health counselor, like that's really scary as a provider. And people need access to healthcare, including mental health care.
Mm.
And that's I'm the only candidate in this race that supports Medicare for all and universal health care. Like, again, it goes back to compassion.
Yes. That's why I led with that question.
Yes. It's caring for our neighbors, making sure that people have access to health care, including mental health care.
Right. That pulling yourself up by the bootstraps only goes so far.
Right.
You know, we need each other.
Yes.
You know, the roads we drive on.
Yes.
You know, if somebody has a fire, the volunteers who come, all of it, we need each other. And to accept that and allow it to be played out and to have the government be a part of that instead of stripping us.
Yes.
You know, we've been, so much of the safety net has now been taken away and people don't even know yet how much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as the rural hospitals start to close or consolidate.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing horrible stories about birthing, you know, the people, how far they have to drive and what has to happen. So, you know, it's like, it sounds all good. The slogans sound all good that we're being saved all this money and all that.
Right.
But, you know, let's talk about where all this money goes, this government money. I have to ask you, what's your perspective on ICE?
Well, no good. No good. Again, I mean, I think we need some kind of system, which is broken, you know, to work with immigrants and people from other countries want to come here and work. And then there's, actually, I was just talking to an orchard person this morning, you know, and they employ a lot of migrants and there's lots of farms that employ, and they want these people to work, you know. And so we should be able to have a system where that makes sense and we can make that happen, which we can do. But to use these masked federal agents that are out there terrorizing our communities, no.
Right.
No, that is not the way to do that at all. That is not the way to add fear and terror. I get really angry about it.
I see that. And I appreciate that because I do too. Because, you know, you hear these stories, I post them. When they come to me, I post them because I don't think people really get it. I don't think, oh yeah, the father was taken away and the other guy was in there and they didn't give him his meds and now he doesn't have legs and, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, tra-la-la-la, you know. No, it's so significant what we're doing. And what people don't get is the trauma that we are imposing on future generations.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a family that had violence in my mom's generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that violence continues to echo through and have an impact on the entire lineage because that's just the way it is. And so we're creating this ugliness for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so thank you for that. I have to ask that because I was just in the Wisdom, Wisconsin. Are you familiar with them?
Wisdom, is it like Jonah?
Yes.
And, yes. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So they just had a summit on immigration, and I went. It was in Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
And like a couple hundred people were there from all over the state.
Amazing.
And it was beautiful. And there was a lot of really good discussion and people meeting one another and talking about, you know, these agreements that the sheriffs can have, the 287G agreements, you know, and to what extent. I mean, it's very detailed stuff. You have to really want to pay attention and learn. Mm-hmm. But just to understand that we have a say. I mean, right now, all the sheriffs in Wisconsin are up for re-election.
Yeah.
So we have a chance to go to our sheriffs and say, oh, by the way, how do you feel about signing these agreements? Because they're promised money.
I know.
But they're not even getting the money. And if you ask them how much does it actually cost to keep people in the prisons, they're actually losing money. Probably. We, by the way. It's not they, it's we.
Taxpayer, yeah.
So, okay, well, I'm glad we touched on immigration because it's so painful. It's so painful to know that this is happening.
I know. And these are our neighbors and our community members. That's where, it is painful. Again, compassion. It's caring for our neighbors.
And the thing is about this, where does it stop? Because it starts out criminals, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And now we know that the majority of people aren't even criminals that they're taking. And then who's next? What group of people are next? In fact, they've gone to Native Americans. If the Native Americans look a certain way, they're being taken. Even if they have paper, I mean, it's just, it's insane. And then, of course, like you mentioned, masked. Masked and with guns. So.
And the whole purpose is to create fear.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to have you on. By the way, I should tell everybody, right now you are listening to Changing the Narrative on WDRT. I'm Dina Eccles, and my guest is Emily Berge, and she's running to unseat Derek Van Orden for the 3rd Congressional District. And so that's why I wanted to have you on, because we can't have people voting for this stuff to increase funding for these things. It's insane.
I know.
So where does, you know, because you say we want to have health care, but where's the money if it's going to militarized police?
Right. Or bombing other countries.
And that was my next question. That's my next question for you. How do you feel about funding Israel?
Yeah, well, I think we should treat everyone the same. You know, no country should get special treatment. I think we need to follow the laws, the Leahy law, you know, that if there is reports or suspicions of human rights violation, like, we need to investigate that. No one is above the law. Like, I am a rule follower. Like, everyone, I can't do this stuff. You know, like, us regular people can't be going out, like, you know, doing whatever we want, you know, and getting, I mean, that's a bad example, but my point is that, like, we need to, like, just, we have to follow the laws, you know, and we have to, and international law as well, and we can't be giving certain countries special treatment, including Israel, you know, and they are committing genocide.
Yeah, see, and you said that word. There are a lot of people now who are asking, I listen to a lot of independent journalists, and so they ask these questions if they're interviewing candidates like yourself, and that's one of them. Can you say the word genocide?
Yes.
You know, can you say that? Because people were afraid to. And I get it. I mean, I was involved early on after after it began in October a few years back, and I realized right away the label of anti-Semitism, how fearful it was, because I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Yeah.
I get it. I get the pain that they are dealing with. I totally get it. But when we have to recognize Israel as a government, not as the people.
Right.
And governments, as we are finding out, can make mistakes.
Yes.
Big ones.
Yes.
Like horrible, horrific ones.
Right.
And that's on us.
Yeah.
You know, if we continue to allow, and I have a theory, and you could tell me what you think about this, but I have a feeling that because we allowed the genocide to go on as we did, including the Democrats, including that was a hard one for me, you know, when Harris was running, I think that's desensitized us to the whole ICE thing. Now, you know, it's like, oh, well, it's just some other brown people or some other activists who need to be taken off the streets or whatever. And I think we have to, it's in that line in the sand again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, and this whole administration is desensitizing us to violence.
So I heard you speak of probably a month or so ago, and I was so touched by your commitment and your conviction. As I even see it here talking to you now, it's too bad in a way this is radio, because if you guys could see her light up on some of these topics, it's real deal. It's not like, well, I know I'm supposed to care. No, it's not like that. It comes from a very deep place. And I talked to you about your courage. It matters to have that kind of courage right now, because it's not common, not in the circles that you're trying to entertain.
Yeah.
You know, it's not common, but it should be.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Where do you come up with that?
I think about when I decided to run for Congress. I mean, my why was to fight for my community, fight for my country, you know? And I didn't even realize how courageous it was at the time. A year and a half later, though, especially seeing people who aren't saying anything and who are, maybe they say stuff, but they don't do anything. See, I'm a doer. If I'm going to say something, I'm going to do it. Because I believe you judge people by their actions. So, and you said, Democrats, too, people on our side of the aisle, they're not doing stuff right now. And I'm like, wow, me, little old me, Emily Berge from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you know, decided to take on the Democratic establishment just by saying, no, we will have a primary and you're not going to pick for the people of the 3rd Congressional District. Me standing up to big money and political insiders, now I'm like, oh, yeah, that kind of was a big deal. But at the time, it just felt like the right thing to do.
The right thing.
And that's what made my decision. I'm like, no, the people of the 3rd deserve a choice.
Right.
I just get this feeling inside of me like, no, that's not okay. You can't just buy this seat. The seat is not for sale. And it just the fact that they wanted to pick which candidate goes up against Derek Van Orden, it angered me. It motivated me. And I just knew right then, I had to run.
And this is why I'm so thrilled that we're talking the day that we found out that Abdul El-Sayed won. Yeah. Because, talk about, you know, the amount of money that was thrown into that race and the lies and the racism. And it's just, so you are popping up when all these other people are popping up.
Mm.
And it's like something is coming, is emerging, and they're emerging through you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really, it's an amazing time. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I get to watch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, oh, I should be younger. I could run for office. And then I think, no.
Well, I'll just say, you're not watching. You're part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you invited me here so we can talk about it, so more people can hear about it. So you are definitely part of it. It takes a village.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. And I love it. I love that I get this opportunity. And I really hope a lot of people are listening. Mm-hmm. And it will be shareable, because it'll come out on my podcast as well as on the radio. Have you ever heard the saying, choice not chance makes destiny?
No.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a good one.
I was thinking about talking to you and I thought, that's a good one. Choice not chance makes destiny.
Yeah, it's about being intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's in front of all of us, and we all need to participate in that. So the polls are open, right?
Well, early voting, it depends on your municipality. Talk to your local clerk, voting clerk. But yes, early voting is open right now. Mm. And then voting day is Tuesday, August 4th, or August 11th.
August 11th.
August 11th.
It's coming right up.
Yep.
And people can find you?
Well, BergieForCongress.com is my website. I'm on all the socials. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram. You'll see all the ventures that we're on and having a good time trying to change the world.
Yeah. And you've been getting a lot of endorsements, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So any last thing that you would like to share with the audience about why they should check Emily Berge?
Yeah. Well, I am showing...
It's an open primary, so...
Yes, Republicans
so
can vote.
So people who are tired of the Van Orden game can cross over.
Yeah. Yes. And people that want a moratorium in data centers and someone that will stand beside them with these big transition lines, I will be right there with you. Mm-hmm. So yes, anyone can vote in the primary. Vote Emily Berge. I have been showing you all for the last year and a half how I will serve in Congress by showing up and listening and caring. And this is how I think it can be and should be and how I will do it with us all.
Mm. No matter what happens, I don't think we've heard the last of you, my dear. No matter what happens. Okay, so this has been Dina Eccles with Changing the Narrative here at WDRT, and my guest has been Emily Berge, who's running to unseat Derek Van Orden in the upcoming November election after she wins the primary on August 11th. My chips are on humanity. Mm. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.